Judges chapter 14. And our text for this morning is that verse 5. Verse 5, Judges 14. Then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. When writing his Proverbs, Solomon asked two very poignant and powerful questions. First of all, he said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Proverbs 6, verses 27 and 28. The teaching here is that if a man plays with fire, he is going to get burned. If a man trifle with sin, he will suffer the consequences. He cannot take a fire into his bosom without his clothes being burned. He cannot walk upon hot coals without his feet being burned. And a man cannot trifle with sin without suffering the consequences. And when we examine the life of Samson, we find that he was a man, if we might use the term, who was always playing with fire. Being a Nazarite, he had taken the vow of separation. It was the mark of the Nazarite. He was to live a life that was separated unto the Lord. And having taken this vow of separation, we look at the life of Samson, and we discover that by his actions, Samson always seemed to want to push the restrictions of that vow to their very limit. He always seemed to be, as it were, living on the edge, going as near to sin as he possibly could without perhaps yielding to the temptation. He perhaps thought that he could go to places where he shouldn't go. And that visiting that place not having an effect upon him. He thought he could touch the unclean thing and he himself not be contaminated. He was playing with fire. He was taking fire into his bosom. He thought he could put forth riddles and play games with the enemy, namely the Philistines. He thought he could put forth these riddles and play games with them, and he believed that he could outwit them, that they would never conquer him. He was playing with fire. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer is obvious. It is not possible to play with fire and take fire into your bosom and not get burned. Living a life of separation unto the Lord is right. Living a life of separation unto the Lord will save us from getting burned. It is the only way for the Christian to live. And the Christian ought not to trifle with sin. Christian ought not to take fire into his bosom. For the Christian will get burned. This is obvious. Let me look at the life of Samson. I want us this morning, first of all, to consider Samson and his pathway. We noted last week that one of the first recorded actions of Samson as an adult was, verse 1, he went down to Timnath. Here you have his direction. Samson was going in a downward direction, not only geographically, but spiritually also. Because he disobeyed the command of God and chose to enter into a union with a daughter of an uncircumcised Philistine. He was going to be unequally yoked with this woman who was a Philistine. That was forbidden by the Lord. And so the pathway that Samson was on was the pathway of disobedience. And whenever a Christian enters upon the pathway of disobedience, he's going in a downward direction. When he walks the pathway of disobedience, he's going down spiritually. Make no mistake about that. We cannot live in disobedience to the commands and the precepts of a holy God and expect to go on with God and to know the blessing of God and to get to higher ground with God. Don't we often sing those words? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We want to get upon higher ground with God, where the air is pure and ethereal. Is that not what we want? But higher ground with God, which is above the world, can only be gained by living a life of obedience to the Lord. By living a life of separation unto the Lord. That's how we get to higher ground. Listen to these words, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And so that hymn that we often sing is a good sign, scriptural hymn, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Because the Lord said that if you obey my commands, I will set you on high. I will lift you up and set you on higher ground. It is up there where we want to dwell with God. We want to reach higher ground, do we not? Do we not want a deeper spiritual experience with God? Do we not want to walk in that closer communion and fellowship with God and get above this world? Get to higher ground. We'll never get to higher ground if we walk the road of disobedience. You notice there in verse 1, Samuel went down to Timnath. Look at verse 5. Then went Samuel down. Look at verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman. In other words, you look at Samson's life. The first step he took in chapter 14 was down. The next step was down. And so it goes on. Each step he took was down. Because he's living in disobedience. I know it refers here to that geographical step down, but it's in keeping with the spiritual state of Samson. He was going down spiritually. He was. And I believe Samson didn't even know it. Now you and I can go down spiritually, not even know it. We need the Lord to keep a watch on us. We need the Lord to speak to us. We need the Lord to rebuke us and correct us and chasten us. But he might get our feet off the downward path. We start going up. Every step Samson took was down. And you know, whenever you start going down, it's hard to get back up again. You've been to those amusement arcades or areas. And you know the big slide, the children go down, they get into a sack. And they start up at the top of this great slide. And they get into the sack and they slide down to the bottom. Now once they start going down that slide, there's no way they're going to stop and get back up again. Every inch, every foot they go is down, still further down. And that's like the life of the Christian who's on the road of disobedience. Every day goes down a bit further. It's like the church. When a church goes on the slippery slope of compromise, I'll tell you this today on the authority of this book, when a church goes on the road to compromise, there's no turning back. There's no reversing the process. And it's only a matter of time before that church slides into open, full-scale apostasy. History proves that. And so, dear child of God, may you and I be enabled by the Spirit of God to live a separated life unto the Lord. It's the safest life to live. But then we notice not only his direction, but his departure. We read there in our text, verse 5, then went Samson down, and his mother, and his father, and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Now you look at verse 6, and you find that whenever the lion roared against Samson, his mother and father were not there. And so we have the picture of Samson and his mother and father going in the direction of Timnath. And then Samson turns aside and he leaves. He departs from the path that his mother and father were on. And he turns aside and goes down to the vineyards of Timnath. Here's Samson playing with fire again. We know from what we read and studied in chapter 13 that Manoah and his wife, the parents of Samson, set a very high moral and spiritual standard for their son to follow. We noted how they adored one another, how they adored the Lord, how they sacrificed to the Lord, how they only wanted to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. This was a tremendous example for Samson, their son, to follow. Wasn't that one of their prayers? How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And so Manoah and his wife set Samson a good example for Samson to follow. Yet we see that whenever they went together down to Timnath, we find Samson turned aside. That's what the way it's put in verse 8. He turned aside to see. He turned aside. He left the path that his mother and father were on. And he turned aside and went down to the vineyards of Timnath. And here we see that Samson departed from the path that his mother and father were on. He left them. He departed from them. And he went down to the vineyards of Timnath. He's not following in his parents' footsteps now. He's not following the standard set by his mother and father. Neither did he follow in his mother and footsteps spiritually either. You know that whenever a king ascended to the throne, we usually have given to us a comment or the Lord's commentary on that individual. And someone ascends to the throne. The next verse usually says, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, or he did that which was wrong or sinful. Now we read over in 2 Kings 22 about Josiah. Godly young man, Josiah. 2 Kings 22 verse 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. 8 years old. And the Lord tells us how Josiah walked. How he lived. How he behaved. See, the Lord takes note of how children behave. 8-year-olds behave. Parents can make excuses for their children's health, but he's only a child. You read through the kings, and you'll come across a number of kings who were only children when they were crowned. And you have the comment, they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Yes, a child. Or did that which was right. But here we see Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Now look at the next verse. And he did that which was right. 8 years old. The Lord said he did that which was right. So it is possible for a child of 8 to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside. Mark the words. Turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And so here's Josiah. And we're told that Josiah did that which was right. And we're told that Josiah walked in the ways of his father David. He followed in his footsteps, turning not to the right or to the left. And yet when you look at Samson, and you look at that verse 8 of chapter 14 of Judges, and after a time he returned to take her and he turned aside. That was Samson's problem. He turned aside from the path that his father was walking before him. I've said many times from this pulpit, it is one of the greatest privileges any individual has this side of eternity, is to live, is to be brought up and live in a Christian home. To have mother and father pray for their children. To have mother and father seek to guide them aright. Tell them what's right and what's wrong. That is a great privilege. And it is the desire, I am sure, of every godly mother and father that their children follow in their footsteps. And many children today have turned aside and have abandoned the high spiritual standards set by their parents. They have abandoned that road that their mother and father walked. You know who your parents are, what they were like. You know the example they set you? Was your father a man of prayer? Are you following his example? Or have you turned aside? Was your father a student of the Word? Are you a student of the Word? Or maybe the Bible's hardly ever opened. You've turned aside. Remember reading about George Whitefield, the sermon he preached, and in the course of that message he talked about a young man who had a godly father, lived in the same house with his father until the day his father died. And Whitefield said that when his father died, he says the son took the furniture out of the house and burned it. He didn't want any lingering memories of his godly and spiritual father. He wanted his sin. And the chair that his father used to sit in would only have rebuked him. He burned everything. Like Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah. One of the greatest kings ever to rule Judah. And my, when Hezekiah died, it was as if every restraint had been thrown off Manasseh. And he got into the deepest depths of sin. Praise the Lord. The Lord had mercy on him and answered the prayers of his father and saved him. But if your mother and father has set a godly example for you to follow, by God's grace, endeavor to walk that road. Don't turn aside to the right or to the left. Notice his distraction. I cannot help but notice how Israel's future deliverer was so easily distracted. In verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. He was distracted. Verse 5, then went Samson down, his father and his mother, to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Here's Samson distracted. He was distracted by what he saw. He saw a young woman of the Philistines. We dealt with this last Sabbath morning. He didn't consider what kind of a wife this woman would make. He didn't ask himself, was she a good woman, a moral woman, a pure woman? He just saw this woman and said to his mother and father, get her for me. He wasn't interested in whether or not she was a virtuous woman. She should make a good wife and a good mother. Never entered his head. We see how easily Samson was turned aside by what he saw. In verse 8, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Eve was distracted in the Garden of Eden. We know Genesis 3, every one of us, I'm sure, almost by heart. The chapter that deals with the fall of man. And Eve was distracted in the Garden of Eden by what she saw. And by what she saw, she seemed to forget all about the command of the Lord. And so we read in Genesis 3 verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. But what about God's command? Thou shalt not, God said. Thou shalt not. What she saw helped her to blot out what she had heard. And she had heard along with Adam, her husband, she was not to eat of the forbidden fruit. And so it was with Samson. He forgot about his vow of separation, and he saw a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. He forgot about his vow of separation when he saw and came to the vineyards of Timnath. He should never have been near the vineyards of Timnath. He should not have gone there because of God's command to the Nazarite in number 6 and verse 6. He was to have nothing whatsoever to do with the vine, either the grape or the husk. So why was he in the vineyard? Samson playing with fire again. Putting himself into the place of temptation. Playing with fire. He was in a place that he should not have been. Oh, there's no indication that he partook of the grapes in the vineyard. But that's just typical of Samson. He goes as near as he can. Plays with fire. Puts himself in the place of temptation. It's like the Christian. I've heard people come out with silly arguments. And they say there's no harm in a Christian going into a public house if they're sitting drinking orange juice. I tell you, there's everything wrong with a Christian going into a public house. Because he's putting himself in the place of temptation. And we are to shun all appearance of evil. Not much of a testimony. If the ungodly see a Christian going into a public house. I'm afraid Samson didn't have a very good testimony. When people would have seen him, knowing he was a Nazarite, knowing he was to separate from all contact with the vine, and seeing Samson in the vineyards. There he was. Shouldn't have been there. Believer, let us not put ourselves in the place of temptation. Let us remember the words of Solomon. They're found in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. No turning to the left or to the right. Ponder the path of thy feet. Think about the direction you're going. And let all thy ways be established. Or, in the Bible margin, the word established may be rendered, all thy ways shall be ordered aright. Make sure you're walking right before God. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Samson and his pathway. Samson and his power. Now we come to one of those difficulties in Samson's life. They're hard to explain. Of course, that's consistent with any believer who's not walking with the Lord and doing those things they ought not to do and being found in places they ought not to be found. They do things that are hard to understand. So it was with Samson. For here we read in verse 6, Judges 14. Now there he is. He's in a place where he shouldn't be. The vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. How can you explain that? He was living in disobedience to the Lord, and yet we read that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. This is one of the riddles of Samson's life. But first of all, look at his danger. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Going to the vineyards of Timnath, going to a place he should not have gone to, Samson put himself in the place of danger, put himself in the place of temptation, but also place of danger. Because it was while he was there, in disobedience to the Lord's command, that a young lion roared against him. And you know, believer, it's hardly surprising, is it? Hardly surprising at all that this lion roared against him. Having taken the downward road, having taken the road of disobedience, that a young lion roared against him. Hardly surprising. So said at the beginning, living a life that is separated unto the Lord, it's not only right, but I tell you, it's a lot safer. And whenever we go down to the vineyards of Timnath, we need not be surprised that our adversary, the devil, who goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, we needn't be surprised if he roars against us when we're in a place we shouldn't be. When we do something we know full well we shouldn't do, don't be surprised then that the devil meets us there. Peter was talking about to God's people. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about or walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour God's people. And I tell you this, we're inviting the devil to devour us, to destroy us, if we find ourselves in the vineyards of Timnath. Shouldn't have been there. When I was minister in our church in Newton Abbey, there was a young man there. His name was Michael. He's a very energetic individual, loves sport. But one thing I could say about him, he was always faithful at the place of prayer. And then one Tuesday night, he was missing. Phoned me the next day from the hospital. To tell me that he had suffered a broken leg. And then he went on to apologize. He said, I should have been at the prayer meeting last night, but a friend of mine came to the door and asked me to go and play tennis. And I know I shouldn't have yielded, but I went. And they had a bit of a fall or an accident in the tennis court and broke his leg. He knows he shouldn't have been there. Could have been there some other night. He knows he shouldn't have been there. It was prayer meeting night. And that was the night the lion roared against him. Hardly surprising. Because the devil will take advantage of us in our disobedience. You can be sure of that. Be sober then. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Walking about, he's restless. He's always watching. And ready to take advantage of the Christian who disobeys the Lord. Notice not only his distraction, but his disadvantage, or his danger, but his disadvantage. Although Samson should not have been surprised that a lion roared against him in his disobedience, yet the lion seemed to have taken Samson by surprise, because it says, behold, a young lion roared against him. It's not so typical. We know the danger associated with disobedience. We know the danger in suffering the consequences of disobedience. But what do? We go on anyway. We still go down to the vineyards of Timnah. And then the young lion roars against us, takes us by surprise. It shouldn't, but he does. He takes us by surprise. And what does it say in verse 6? It says he had nothing in his hand. He was completely unprepared for facing a lion. Unprepared. And we're just like Samson. We're in the place of disobedience. We're there unprepared. And the devil will attack us. When we're disobedient, we don't think anything about the armor of God. The Christian who is disobedient doesn't have his loins girt about with the truth. Neither does he have on the breastplate of righteousness. He doesn't have his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And where is his shield of faith and his helmet of salvation? Unprepared. No armor. Left it off. And so when the devil comes against us in our disobedience, we're unprepared. And he just takes us at his will. But here's the problem now. How do we explain the next part? And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. After all of what we have said about Samson, his disobedience, his departure from the way, now we read the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. His deliverance came by way of the Holy Spirit's power. The Lord had mercy. That would be an easy way of explaining it and just saying God had mercy on him. So he did. We ought to thank the Lord for the times he had mercy on us when we were in disobedience to him. Spared us from a lot more trouble. But I believe the teaching goes deeper than that. I believe what we have here is an example of God's sovereignty. This incident proves again that God is sovereign. And that is, he doesn't send forth his Holy Spirit and power because of what we are or who we are, what we have done or what we haven't done. He's sovereign. And he sends forth the Spirit of God in power according to his own will and purpose. That's what he does in revival. Yes, we are to live holy lives. But people seem to think that unless we're holy, God will not send revival. That's not true. God will send revival no matter what we're like. How often has revival come whenever the spiritual state of the church was at a very low ebb? As in the Kempis Lang revival. The Presbyterian minister there lamented the low spiritual state of his people. And that's when God sent revival. God is sovereign. He sends revival according to his own will and purpose. He sends his Spirit forth in power according to his own will and purpose. And he did it on this occasion. It was only God's will. Nothing to do with Samson, as we can see. God gave him the Spirit of the Lord, and it came mightily upon him. God, I believe, delivered Samson because God had a work for Samson to do. He was to begin to deliver Israel. He was in danger, and the Lord had mercy on him. And the Lord gave him the Spirit of God and might and power. Notice how discreet he was, and with this I'll finish. He was discreet. For we read there in verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or mother what he had done. I would think that would be hard to do. I think if any one of us here had the power to rend a lion as we would a kid, we'd be telling everybody about it. We'll be saying, you never could guess what happened to me the other day. We'd tell them all about it. But Samson didn't say a word to his parents. Why? Indeed, whenever he got the honey out of the carcass of the lion, he didn't tell them then either where he got the honey from. Why? Samson's parents, knowing the laws governing the life of a Nazarite, would know that Samson was in disobedience to the Lord for going down to the vineyards of Timnath in the first place. They would have known he shouldn't have been there. But like, now we know Christians shouldn't gamble. Christians shouldn't do the lottery. Now supposing a Christian that you know, or let's suppose you did the lottery one day, and you checked the numbers at the weekend. I've never done it, so I don't know how it works. But the weekend, you check your numbers, and you've won the jackpot. And you say, what am I going to do now? I can't very well go out and tell people in the church, I've just won the lottery. So you have to keep it to yourself. You're bursting to tell somebody. I've won 5 million. You didn't want to tell somebody, but you can't. Because what would they think of you then? And your witness and your testimony as a Christian wouldn't be worth that. What would Manoah and his wife think of their son if he told them that he met a lion in the vineyards of Timnath and had to slay him? They wouldn't have thought much about the slaying of the lion. They would have thought more of Samson. Why were you there? Shouldn't have been there. So he slew the lion as he would have slain a kid. But he never said a word about it. Because he knew he was in the wrong place. Shouldn't have been there. I would like to have gone on this morning and deal with his getting the honey from the carcass of the lion. That passage has been greatly misunderstood and misinterpreted. But we'll look at that, God willing, next Sabbath day. Let's bow our heads in prayer.